Good morning, brethren. How's everybody doing this morning? And as typical, Phil Joseph is doing marvelous, he says. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Great God in heaven, thank you so very much for life and breath, food, clothing, jobs, our nation, everything that we enjoy in the flesh. But we especially thank you for every spiritual blessing that is in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The fact that you have adopted us, causing us to be born again, that you have foreordained us to the praise of the glory of your grace, that you have sealed us with the Holy Spirit, that you sent Jesus to die for us, to redeem us for our sins, that we might be forgiven of our sins by his blood. The list is endless, Father, and we thank you for it all. And as we think now about our nation and our role in it as Christians, help us to know the truth, to be totally equipped, that we might function not only as good American citizens, but as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we offer our prayer. Amen. Okay, you'll recall... Oh, no, well, before I do that, I want to tell you something I probably never told you before. If you like to mark your Bible, I don't know what you use, but I used to use just a ballpoint pen. And have you noticed what happens after the years? Yeah, it fades, it just kind of blotches, because the oil in your hands just does that to the ink. So many, many years ago, Steve Lloyd told me about a pen called Rapidograph. And it's really good. You can get it in different point sizes and so on. And it's waterproof. And you can write really little with it. I mean, very small. The problem is it's expensive. And then when it runs out of ink, you got to fill it up yourself. I have a set I can show it to you. And then just recently, I was listening to one of our preachers who's passed away now, Wenda Winkler, recommend a Pigma pen, which I had never heard of before. And this recommendation he made, I think the recording I heard was probably 20 or 30 years old. So I thought, oh, they probably don't make it anymore. And I couldn't find one here in Grants Pass, but I did in an art store in Medford. And that's what I have right here. This is a Pigma pen. Pigma Micron 005. What the 005 means, I have no idea, because the size of the tip, I can't even see. I think it says 0.20 millimeters. And you don't refill it, but it's not cheap. It was like $3 and some cents. But it's the same thing as the Rapidograph. And so you can write really small if you get the small tip like I did. They have different colors. Obviously, this is red. And it won't fade. It's waterproof. I got this... I don't remember the name of it, but I'll tell you what, I have to go to my doctor in Medford on this Friday, and if you would like one, I'll buy one for you, or several, whatever, and then you can give me the money later. Pigma pin is?
I believe so, yeah.
Really? Do you mind checking up on that for me first before I go to Medford and buy a bunch, okay? Help the local economy, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they call it archival ink. So I don't know why I couldn't find one here. I should have asked my class here. Pardon? Yes, it does have different point sizes. And I got the smallest one. Right, yeah. See, like with these glasses that I'm wearing right now, I wouldn't be able to do it. I have to have on some other glasses that I use. Because, you know, Bibles anymore, they don't make them with much margin space. If you look at Bibles that were sold many years ago, the margin was a lot bigger. And it's, you know, they're trying to cut costs like everyone else, so the margins keep getting smaller and smaller, so you need to be able to write smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay, and I was going to say, if you want to see what I have done, I can show you my Bible afterwards. I mean, I haven't been using this pen very long, but I think, if I remember right, I marked up here in... Yeah, I can show you some places here in Psalms where I've marked pretty small. But I can tell I've used my Rapidograph pen and this one here. And I'm not sure which one was the better one, because I don't know which one did which of these here. Anyways, there you have that. Okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that pen. All right, so 2 weeks ago, of course, you remember we were in the midst of our seminar, or at the end of it, last Lord's Day, and we were talking about why we need to know American law and history. And I asked you whether you love the United States of America, and of course you do. And I asked whether you love the church, and of course you do. And then I also asked, do you know how the church can help America? And we looked at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that speaks about us as being two things. For the earth and for the world. Do you remember what it is? Salt of the earth and light of the... Of the what? The light of the world. Okay, very good. So, you know, I wanted us to think about, you know, we're the salt of what? The earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And does the world recognize that about us? No. When you look in the newspaper or you listen to the evening news or whatever, and they're talking about what's influencing the economy or what's influencing the weather and all kinds of different things, do they ever include us? They don't. They don't consider us as being an item of influence, but we are. If the Lord removed us, what would happen to the earth, to our nation, if God just took all the Christians out? Well, I'll give you an idea. Turn to Isaiah, I think it's 57. I always hate it when I bring up questions that I hadn't thought about before. And then I got to think, okay, where's the scripture on that? Okay, Isaiah 57. I want you to listen to this. Verse 1. The righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers the reason. No one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. In other words, when God's getting ready to do something, well, like, look at Sodom. Why did God take Lot and his family out of the city of Sodom? Okay, they were righteous, but what was the Lord getting ready to do? He's going to destroy it. And if you remember, the two angels told Lot and his wife and daughters who were lingering, they weren't leaving right away, that they said, we cannot destroy this city until you're out. So it says they literally grabbed them by the hands and walked them out of the city. Okay, so that tells me that that city was going to continue as long as the salt of the earth and light of the world was there. And I believe Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16 is saying that about us. Okay, we also noticed how the Jews knew Persian law and history. And it was to their benefit to know it. Okay, and I gave you several passages on that. And you know, we need to know American law and history for the same reason. It's for our benefit, as well as for the benefit of our fellow citizens. I mean, we want as many of them to be saved as possible. So it's good for us to know not only the scriptures, but what the law of our land says and what the history of our land is. Yeah, I mean, personally, that's why on, what was that, Friday night and Saturday night of our seminar, and the 15 proclamations that Brother Dave Miller showed us that were issued by the Continental Congress during the 8 years of the Revolutionary War. Wow, those were fascinating, aren't they? Wow. I mean, we need to know that, but my fellow American who cares nothing for the Lord needs to know what was said in those things. Because I think it, since their thoughts were based on Scripture, that it explains America. Why she's here, why she's done well, why she has troubles, and so on. And that, to me, that was just fascinating. I don't know what you thought about it, but I didn't want him to stop. I liked him talking about those things. Also, Paul knew Roman law, and I'm sure he knew Roman history as well, and he used it to his advantage. So now let's turn to Acts chapter 22. Paul has been arrested. He was speaking to the Jews. They're listening to him talk about his conversion. They're even listening to him talk about having seen Jesus. And, you know, amazingly, they're willing to listen to him. Until he gets to verse 21 for us, when he says that Jesus said to him, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles." And when they heard that, that was it. This man deserves to die. Of course, all this is taking place in Hebrew. And what language did the Romans speak? What was that somebody said over here? Latin. They spoke Latin, okay? That's why on the cross, when Jesus was crucified, there's three languages: Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Okay, so, and you would think that the politicians and soldiers who had been dispatched to Israel, to the land of Israel, would be learning Hebrew, but I guess you just can't always do that. But so they don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, you know, they're seeing this man speak, and all of a sudden the whole crowd goes into a rage. And they assume that Paul's the one in error. Well, let's imagine that here we are, and we've got a speaker up here, and you're not part of this group, and you don't speak English, and so the speaker is talking, and he says something that just enrages everyone here, so much so that we want him dead, and we rush the pulpit area up here, and we're going to kill him. So who would you assume is wrong? We would probably assume, you know, he's wrong. He said something, obviously, to upset these people. And that's what happens here. So, they want to find out what's going on. They arrest Paul. They're actually saving him from the Jews. But look what they're going to do to try and find out what's going on. Okay, what do I have up there? Verse 25? Well, you know what? Let's just start at verse 22 and you'll see what I'm talking about. And they listened to him until this word, meaning Gentiles, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." That's in Hebrew, which Luke translated into Greek, and now our translators have put in English. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander, that's the Roman commander, ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. Now, do you remember what scourging is? You've probably heard preachers, if not me, talk about that's what the Romans did to Jesus before they crucified him. And it was a brutal process. They want to lacerate this guy's back to find out what he said to these people. Oh, have you ever thought about how the Roman Empire is pictured in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation? I mean, it's just a ferocious beast with iron claws, and it just rips up and tears up everything in its path. And this is a good example of that, okay? Wow, this kind of thinking is beyond anything that we think. Okay, so where did I leave off? Right in the middle of verse 24 there. They're going to scourge him so that they might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, and he obviously he's not going to speak in Latin, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Now, what is the basis? What is the basis of Paul's question? Without even knowing anything about Roman law, what do you think is the basis of his question? Well, where is he coming from? Why? Because he's a Roman. So that must mean that Roman law said you don't scourge a Roman. You can scourge a Jew or a Persian or a Greek or whatever, but you don't scourge Romans. And Paul knew that. And man, did he just save himself from some brutal treatment. And on top of that, he said what?
Uncondemned.
So you're going to scourge an innocent Roman? You know, that's a double whammy. Okay, so watch how the Romans react to that. 26. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." So this man must have been a foreigner of some kind. He wasn't born a Roman. And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen, which makes me even more so a Roman than you, sir." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him even. Wow. Okay, let's look at another instance in chapter 25. And here's Paul before Romans. Excuse me. And in verse 9 it says, "But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, 'Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?' So Paul said, 'I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender and have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying.'" Wow. "But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Now that tells me that again, Paul knew something about Roman law, that he knew he could make an appeal to Caesar. And that that meant certain things, and that these judges who were here before him, you know, had to honor this request, so forth and so on. So again, Paul knew Roman law and used it to great advantage. And I think in the same way, we need to know American law as much as we're able. I mean, obviously you can't know every single law that there is, but we need to be at least familiar with it. And I would say it would do us well to know the Constitution and to know the Declaration of Independence and Dependence. Remember, I think I said it 2 weeks ago, I was going to try and start calling it that, because our founders didn't only declare independence from God, but dependence upon providence or God. I think what's important for us to know is that America exists because of events that have happened in both world history and church history. If you don't know world history and you don't know church history, you don't fully understand why America is here and why she's different. Why she has been the exception in world history, and just how magnificently blessed we are in this country. So whenever you can, try and get a little bit of church history or world history, And if you're not reading from a direct source, check out who this person is that's giving you this history, because just like with the Bible, there's people who put their own interpretation and spin on it. So, you know, it's going to have to be someone that you trust, someone you have some confidence in, and someone that you think, okay, you know, what is their purpose in doing this? I was at a store yesterday and saw a book about George Washington and how after the war he retired. And, you know, when we declared independence, he was 43. And fighting had already been going on for a year, so you add 70. So he retired when he's 50. But things weren't going so well in America. We were not functioning very well under the Articles of Confederation at all, and our country was just about ready to fall to pieces. So he was called upon by the Continental Congress and by his fellow Americans, you know, you need to help us. Okay, so anyways, I knew about that, and I knew how, you know, what his position was in the Continental Congress that put together the Constitution and so on and so forth. And so I saw this book that talked about what persuaded him to go there and all the goings-on between the end of the war and him becoming president. And I thought, okay, now, where's this author going to go? Is he going to tell me how evil George Washington was, or what a good man he was, or something in between, or what? You know, so this is a hardback, but it has, you know, that paper jacket on it, and I looked on the inside flap and just read it, and then it went on to the back side a little bit. And I like the approach that person is going to take, this guy, and so I bought it. So that's what I'm going to encourage you to do, and I think you'll be blessed by doing it. So just remember, we exist because of these two major histories in the history of the world. Okay? And I would encourage you, you know, well, at least I did this in my class that I had on Friday nights earlier this year. I don't know if I've ever done this in front of the congregation, but I would encourage you to know the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I try to read the Declaration every July 4th. Why July 4th, by the way? What was that? Yeah, it's Independence Day. That's when, boom, it was done, okay? And the Constitution on September 17th. Does anyone know why I might pick September 17th? Okay, so that's the day when it was completed, and finally the last signatures were put on it. And it's, you know, they had done their work. And, of course, the Bill of Rights wasn't in it yet, and it still had to be ratified and so on. But anyways, those are two significant dates in America's history. July 4, 1776, and September 17th, 1787. I strongly encourage you to do that. Doesn't take long to read the Declaration, just a matter of minutes. And really, it doesn't take that long to read the Constitution either, obviously a little bit longer. And I've thought to myself, as a preacher myself and as a Christian, that I, as a Christian and as a member of the church and the church as a whole, we may have to save America like the Irish saved civilization. There's a book that I read that's called How the Irish Saved Civilization by Thomas Cahill. And basically what he says happened was, there's Rome, the Roman Empire. They've got great libraries of, you know, of the civilizations before them, including their own civilization. Then finally, in the 5th century, when the Roman Empire collapses and falls, do you think the average citizen at that point was concerned about literature anymore? No, it descended into chaos. And now you're just concerned about day-to-day living. I need food. I need shelter. I need clothing. So this literature was forgotten. And in many cases, they actually started to destroy it because they didn't know what it was. Let's use it to start a fire. But there's a man who most people think was Irish, but actually he was English, that we call Patrick. Or you probably know him more as Saint Patrick. When he's 16 years of age, some Irish go over into England They capture him, bring him back to Ireland as a slave, and he's there for many years. He finally escapes, goes back home to England, then he goes down into France and gets a lot of training. While he was a slave in Ireland, he thought a lot about God, he thought about his own creation, so forth and so on. And so later, he decides he wants to go back to Ireland to save his former captors. And how he went about doing that is just absolutely amazing. He changed the whole island. And part of what he did is, you know, they got all these monks together and everything, and they started writing out ancient literature that the Romans hadn't destroyed yet and just making copies of it. And so we know much about the Roman civilization and empires before them because of Patrick and something that he started that the Irish continued for several centuries. And you know, I would encourage you, if you can buy books about America and things like that, I strongly encourage you to do that. Because even as evolutionists have rewritten natural history, and even as the secularists have rewritten political and judicial history, so there are some anti-Christian forces who are rewriting America's founding. And there are just a lot of things that even us who love America don't know about America. You know, like those proclamations that Dave spoke about. You know, I've read one or two before, but I didn't know there were 15. And here's the thing. You remember he brought some proclamation packets that all it has in there is the actual facsimiles of those proclamations. They've not even been put into modern English and retyped or anything. No commentary, no interpretation, and some of you bought it. And then I thought, you know what, I think I have that. And sure enough, I had bought from Apologetics from Apologetics Press, for whom he works, years ago I had bought this proclamation packet, but never read it. And if I had read it, I would have thought, okay, Dave, tell me something new that I don't know. But instead, it was like brand new. Let's turn to the book of Amos. And I'm hoping that a condition that existed back in ancient Israel before the Lord sent the Assyrians against them, I'm hoping that this is never said about America and that it's never said about us as Christians. Okay? Because things are changing in America. If you're not following the news at all, things are changing. And recently, I've started making photocopies of articles, and I've been giving them, at least on Wednesday night. Have I given you some stuff here in this class about some recent happenings? I wanted to do it this morning, something I just discovered yesterday that's going on in Idaho, that I thought, oh man, I need to get this into the hands of my class. But listen to Amos 8, 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Now that's kind of a scary situation, don't you think? Earlier I said, what would happen to the world or what would happen to America if you just pull all the Christians out? What would happen to us if God just pulled His Word out? Dave? I know you had your hand up before my question. Go ahead.
I wondered if with this change you're talking about, if you're going to send a copy of your sermon to that mayor of the city back in the south, where she demands that all of the pastors of that particular city, I can't think what town it is.
Houston. That's what this is right here. This is the subpoena from Mayor Annis or Anis, I'm not sure how you say her first name, Parker. She's the mayor of Houston, Texas. And she is subpoenaed and is suing Pastor Steve Riggle. And I don't know if this says what church he's with. I mean, I downloaded it from the city of Houston's website. And they're the ones that blacked that out, so I'm not really sure what's there. But does anyone know what I'm talking about right here? What's going on? You what? Yeah, I gave you, was that Wednesday night that I gave that out? I passed out something recently. Yes. And Terry?
Yeah, I've seen it on TV.
Yeah. So. Right, and it's actually a lot more than that. And I have the whole thing right here, all 12 or 18 pages. I don't remember what it is. And again, you can go to their website and get this. But I'm not going to show it all to you, but I do want to show you some of it. I think right here it's interesting. You know, you are commanded to do such and such, and if you don't do it, okay, there goes my battery just wore out. Wait a minute, I think I have another one. Always carry an extra laser pointer with you. All right. So she said, or not she, but the lawyers have put this together. Failure by any person without adequate excuse to obey a subpoena served upon that person may be deemed a contempt of the court from which the subpoena is issued. So forth and so on, and may be punished by fine or confinement or both. Okay, so this is a serious matter. You can see the date there, September 10th, 2014. So these are current events. Excuse me. And this applies to any document or communications or whatever where this Steve Riggle has spoken about the plaintiffs, the mayor's office, blah, 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 and especially this here. Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance is what that is. And we'll find out what that is in just a moment. Anyone who has put together his petition, even anyone who has signed his petition, she wants to know who these people are. All the people who circulated it, da, da, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all kinds of stuff there. If you've ever seen one of these before, you know all the jargon and stuff that's in it. So here are the topics, where he addresses equal rights, civil rights, homosexuality, or gender identity, or language relating to restroom access, language related to restroom access being or having been removed from a version of HERO, including any communications related to the removal of that language. Any discussion about whether or how HERO does or does not impact restroom access. Okay, and then she wants, I need to get rid of this so I don't keep trying to use it. You can just see more that she wants there. All right, and then all speeches, presentations, or sermons related to HERO, the petition, Mayor Annis Parker, homosexuality, or gender identity prepared by, delivered by, revised by, or approved by you or in your possession. And here's what the petition says. Biological males are, in fact, allowed to enter women's restrooms in Houston under Mayor Annis Parker's Equal Rights Ordinance, thereby threatening the physical and emotional safety of our women and children, and that her HERO creates unequal rights for a tiny group of people by taking away rights of safety and privacy for the vast majority of our women and children. So in other words, this is what she's saying, and you're going to sign, do you want to sign this petition that you're against it? Okay, and man, she doesn't, you don't do that to this mayor, all right? Or she's going to subpoena every form of communication you could possibly imagine. Karen?
I was going to say, they had this on the Dove radio station. I think Anise is herself a homosexual.
Say that again, she herself, yeah, she's a lesbian, yes,
yeah.
Right. And this is pretty aggressive behavior, okay? Now, here's the actual ordinance, which you could also go online to their website and download. They have different versions of it. Excuse me, there was a couple of drafts, and I downloaded all those. And then I downloaded the last draft before they actually decided to remove this whole thing right here. Here's what it says, okay? It shall be unlawful for any place of public accommodation or any employee or agent thereof to intentionally deny any person entry to any restroom, shower room, or similar facility if that facility is consistent with and appropriate to that person's expression of gender identity. It shall be a defense to prostitution. In other words, we'll give you an exception here. For discrimination on the basis of gender identity under this article, however, if the defendant had a good faith belief that the gender or gender identity of the person discriminated against was not consistent with the gender designation of the facility. For purposes of this section, a defendant has a good faith belief if the manner in which the person represented or expressed gender to others, for example, behavior, clothing, hairstyles, activities, voice, or mannerisms, is not consistent with the gender designation of the facility the person attempted to access. Nothing in this section shall require construction of a new bathroom, shower room, or similar facility. Okay, so do you see what she's proposing? Terry.
Well, in Canada, they already have some of these laws.
Where?
Canada.
Oh, do they?
And discrimination against a group of people.
Tracy? Into a women's shower room.
Yes. And is showering, is obviously not a woman. No one can do anything about it. But if he's dressed as a man, he can't do that? Because he must not have an issue with his gender?
That part, I'm not sure about the last half of what you said, but she's saying that at least in the first half, she and the people who put this together, that if he's appearing as a woman and you cannot deny him access to the bathroom or to the shower room of the opposite gender.
I don't understand the second half.
You mean beginning right here?
No.
Yeah, all this here is like an exception. In other words, it shall be a defense. In other words, if you're caught discriminating against this person, you can say, well, this is what I thought. And they're I think they're trying to give you some leeway there. But so it's the first part up here, that first sentence, that's the main problem. Dave.
Well, I heard this debated last night, and it's in direct conflict with the First Amendment.
Right, okay, that's what I was going to ask you is... not about this here, but going back to not that there. Okay, what did I just do? I don't have to go back. Go ahead, Glenda, while that's getting caught up there. Okay, that was the petition. The petition saying, if you allow this, okay, that's where I am right here. Okay, I didn't read this part here. She wants all documents, studies, information, communications, or other data relied on in connection with the petition to check, confirm, or ensure the truthfulness and accuracy of the statements made in the petition, including but not limited to the statements in the petition, or in any training materials prepared for petition circulators or anyone else involved in the collection of any signatures for the petition, that, here's what the petition says. It's arguing that HERO, Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance, is saying that biological males are in fact allowed to enter women's restrooms under her ordinance. Thereby, that threatens the physical and emotional safety of our women and children. Does that make sense? And so, if you live there, you would, and you agree, I don't want some man coming into the restroom with me if you're a woman. And if I'm a man, I don't want some woman coming into the shower when I'm at the gym either. Okay? So, I would sign this and say, I don't want that ordinance to pass.
But it says it's threatening the physical and emotional safety of women and children.
Right. That's what they're saying. They're saying if her ordinance passes, this is the result. Somebody over here, Karen. I'm a biological male. Okay. But now I may dress differently, and I may have the mannerisms of a female, all that kind of stuff, because I think I'm a woman. So I should have access to the women's restrooms here at the church building.
So they would be a biological male portraying to be a woman.
Right. Yeah, well, you used to work for a law office. You know, I mean, you know, the way this stuff is worded sometimes is like, oh my goodness, how can anyone understand this? Terry.
Yeah, before this even came out, they're trying to get it in schools where a young person
right.
can use their girl
right. And the thing is, this is happening. Go ahead.
All this is doing is testing the waters.
Yeah.
See how much support she'll get.
Yeah, and there's something else that, like I said, that happened yesterday, that I learned about yesterday, that I wanted to give you articles of it, but I'll either give it to my class on Wednesday night or next Sunday, that this couple in Idaho is not going to do weddings for same-sex marriages, and they're being threatened with arrest. Not just with a fine, but they're being threatened to be arrested. Okay, and that's in Idaho, which the article says is the most conservative state in America, which I think probably is. Okay, so let me go back to here to this one. Okay, now I got to get all my underlining caught up here, so just wait a second. Now, I want to show you something that's coming up that I added to this. Okay, so as I told you, I downloaded all these drafts, and then I noticed the final one in the meeting that they had that they wanted that whole paragraph either removed or rewritten to remove the offending parts. And so I thought to myself, okay, did you put it in somewhere else, or is it worded differently somewhere else, or what? I'm sure people down there in Texas are going to be checking this out to see what's going on. But this is Texas. Okay, this is not Connecticut or California or something like that, or Oregon. You know, this is Texas, Bible Belt stuff. Of course, if you know anything about Houston, Texas, they have a huge homosexual population there, and that's just one of the places to go if you want to be accepted with that particular lifestyle. So, my point, though, is not so much this right here, the ordinance. I just wanted to show you this so you'll know why this Steve Riggle has this petition out and why he's speaking against it, and others have joined him. And then I wanted you to see the subpoena that she's making and what she's threatening him with. And okay, so tell me about American law, Mildred.
I can't do that, but I just want to know how can a mayor make a law and do those
things? Well, not supposed to in America. Okay, but
what
can anybody tell me, any part of the Constitution, that when she says to this guy, I want all your emails, all your speeches, all your sermons, presentations, charts, I mean, she lists all kinds. What is, Terry? What part of the First Amendment? There's a lot of parts in it.
Freedom of speech.
Okay, freedom of speech.
Privacy.
And you said privacy, Rick, and what did you say, Karen? Okay, so something about freedom of religion in there, isn't there? Okay, so you're aware of that. And that's good. That's why I encourage you to make sure you know what the laws say here, because this is coming down on us. Wednesday night, when I passed out this article about this thing right here, I don't know who it was, if whoever said it is here in my class and you want to speak up and say, that was me, go ahead. But I heard someone say, it has begun. Did you all hear that? It was a male voice. And I think I know what that brother was talking about, whoever it was, that the persecution has begun. You know, that they're doing things that they never should be able to do according to our Constitution. So,
they said there was, on this debate last night, they said that there were 17 different sections of where it was a violation of what she wanted supplied to her about the thinking, the talking, discussions, whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's even if. But she wants to know, like, his emails, and I think I had this up there earlier, but I didn't read it to you, where she said she wanted the carbon copies and the blind carbon copies. For those of you that don't do email, when you send an email, okay, you can address it to, you know, Larry Amberg, but then I can also do CC, carbon copy. Remember how you used to do that with a letter, and you put the carbon paper in there and everything? And I could send it to a bunch of other people. Or I can also do a BCC, a blind carbon copy. So I'm going to send it to Larry and to a bunch of other people, but I don't want everyone else to know who everyone else is for whatever reason. I do that sometimes because, well, those of you who get my email every week called sermon information for such and such, I always do blind carbon copy because I don't want someone to say, come back and say, you're going to preach on what? And then someone else says, yeah, that's right. And all of a sudden we got a debate going, you know. And so that's one reason to do that, because that way you can't see who the other senders are.
Yeah, it wasn't only this one preacher. It was two other ones along right. with him. And I guess they're supposed to have a big protest this week.
Right. Yeah, so this is big stuff that's going down. And I just told you about something that's happening in our state next door. And, of course, you know there's what was it called? Melissa's Sweet Cakes or something like that here in Oregon, you know, where they wouldn't make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. And they were persecuted severely. They've been run out of business because of these actions. So whoever said that, I think you're right. You're, you know, amen. It has begun. The Steve Riggle that the subpoena has been sent to? Is that what you're asking?
The mayor sent it to the minister.
Right. Yeah.
You blocked it out.
Yeah, I don't know what church he's with. Does anyone know what church he's with, Tracy?
One of the Baptists, but there were four others involved. One of them.
Right. Tracy?
I was just going to say, this is not just an assault on religion, this is an assault on Christianity.
Right. And my opinion as to why they're doing that is because we're not gonna go blow up their mayor's office or whatever. We're an easier target. So next week, what I want to cover is this here, and so we'll take a look at that. Thank you very much.